The Honest Wargamer, an honest and independent show run by gamers for gamers. We bring you the latest in critical meta discussions, zany list tech, and deep dive discussions about the hobby as a whole. We are supported by our fantastic patrons and Twitch subscribers. If you'd like to support us and join the team, that would be awesome. Don't forget all you hydro homies, stay hydrated. Now get yourself comfy. Rob is now here for today's episode of Stream Streak.
Hello, welcome to Honest Wargamer. I'm your host, Rob. Welcome to Stream Streak Day 221? Yeah, 221. And I'm joined by Snooker Pete and Adam Cavallari. Hello, gents. How are you both?
Hey, guys.
How's it going?
Oh, good. How are you? Adam, thanks for just jumping on. I appreciate that. Pete, how are you? You well?
I'm well.
Yeah, good.
I don't want to hear Adam's opinion, so yeah, let's just keep moving.
Yeah, let's go.
On what?
On how you are.
Oh, I'm quite well. I had this episode sprung on me. I wasn't wearing pants at the time, and then a Skype call came in out of nowhere. I was calling you a bunch of cunts with a C E on the end, saying that you started an hour late, and felt like I was going to sass you in the chat. And now I'm on the damn show. So, you know, what a crazy world we live in.
That's your own fault. I'm going to elevate pitch that to you. It's your fault, truth be told, for jumping
That's
into
fair.
Don't forget, everyone, it's daylight savings time here in the UK. So everyone else in the world, you're an hour later. Pete, yours changes this weekend, right? Adam, I don't know if yours ever changes.
Yeah.
No, mine does. I had daylight savings kick in 2 weeks ago.
Oh, okay. Why wouldn't all the governments do them at the same time? That is the most confusing.
Sorry again. Is Adam wearing pants now? Wait and see, mate. Last couple of minutes, maybe I'll stand up, walk around. we'll have a look at the world.
Depends how much you subscribe, I guess, is the real...
That's right. That's right. If we get enough
Let's
subs,
see that,
we get a couple of high
Patreon going tier pop up.
To the Honest Wargamer.
Well, hello everyone, welcome to the show. Thanks for being here. Thanks for joining us live in the Twitch chat. Thanks for joining us on Facebook or YouTube, wherever else you might be watching from. Big love to you. And if you've listened to this podcast, please stay hydrated. Some big 40k news this week. I know we're meant to be adjacent T. I'm going to go for that.
Yeah, but
a lot's happened. Like, there's a lot. Yeah, Pete, what's your favorite bit so far?
New Space Wolf models that are old Space Wolf models. Nothing actually. They're just Reavers.
Are they just Reavers with the special upgrade kit?
You got it, man. I was excited for it.
Shook. I am shook there, gentlemen.
But it does introduce it is the introduction of the Battle Force boxes. So,
yes.
Are they called that? No, Combat Patrols.
Combat Patrols. Yeah. Which I'm actually super excited for. Mm-hmm. I didn't see the prices yet. I think someone sent me the prices and I hadn't looked yet. But in theory, I mean, anytime that you can get a game in a box seems pretty good to me. Oh, Siri's talking to me. 1 second.
She didn't get it, mate. Sort your shit out.
Well, so they're in the UK, they're £85, which compared to our start collecting boxes were... At one point they were 50. They might have gone up to like 55 or something. But they're an increase anyway of some amount, which whatever that's going to be the case now, and there's no real point having that conversation. I'm sure you colonials are going to get ribbed raw anyway, so it's even worse your side.
Oh, we're going to get ruined.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
we're gonna get ruined. I love it. Just so destroyed.
Wait. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Fucking ripped apart. From the inside. So I'm looking at the Death Watch one. So what's that? 5/10 Death Watch intercessors, 3 aggressors, a generic lieutenant, the better looking lieutenant, admittedly, and an apothecary. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's okay. 2 of those units are maybe good.
I mean, the apothecary, unless they change it, is broken.
Yeah,
so
the apothecary and the intercessors seem like they'd be legit, but you can get reroll ones to wound pretty well on Death Watch. I mean, their core thing is reroll ones to wound in combat. Yeah.
Is it a Reaver lieutenant? Because, I mean, that's worth it.
No, it's not. It's actually, a good-looking sword lieutenant. He's, like, generically arm up. Looks good, Deathwatch colors. What's the space for one? You get an Invicta, which is good. Another 2/5 again, and then the 5 special Reavers. What are they, Morkai's douchebags? What are they called?
Yeah, Morkai's sexy lunch buddies.
Yeah, Morkai's mutton chops and sideburns.
Psycho Hunters, I'm curious to see what rules they get, if it's like sniping or feel no pain against mortals or can't be targeted by witchfire or something. I'm a little curious to see what they get and if that what that up point cost on them to be, because Reavers are decently good now with that, just for that strat alone. So,
well, yeah, when I was looking into them, I was like, Reavers got a lot of stratagem support. They're still like not a good, like, you just look at the model by itself, you're like, there's not much to write home about here. There's not much you're excited about. Like, if they get rerolls to wound against psychic units or something, they can jump in from reserve, get a +2 or, and then a reroll or something. That could be pretty cool. Against psychics, or they get, I don't know, +1 to hit. They get +1 to hit. Whatever.
Yeah, who knows?
But
I'm prepared to be underwhelmed. Sorry, you go, Rob.
What, by the box?
Nah, by the Morkai's munch-ups.
Oh. Of course, it doesn't come. The box is company to Battletomes. No, Battletomes Codexes, sorry. But the thing for me that I think is like at least synergistic and cohesive of them is to create a box that you can just buy and it forms a patrol. Whether or not that's a patrol that you ever want to take, I think what's valid. Like, that's like fine. Obviously, they can't. It's like, I don't want to, like, I don't want to. It seems interesting that they know what they're putting out as rules, some statements by some people, yet are unable to understand that the box that they've made is not the competitive box that they want, that anyone wants, if that makes sense. Like, yes. If you were building the core of a competitive army, if you understood how your book was competitive, you would then build the box of models like that. And that would be your combat patrol, is what I'm trying to get at. It really points to the fact that they don't know what the fuck their rules are or mean.
I think that's probably true. And I will say that that's kind of true almost of a lot of games. And we're seeing it more and more with I often allude to like Magic the Gathering and how recently it went to shit. Even though they have like a dedicated playtesting team, they release these purposefully broken cards, but they're often way more broken than they thought, and they're open about it now, where they're like, yeah, we didn't think people would do X thing, and then they did. And GW was very prone to doing it before they had a playtesting team, right? Constantly we would have like, well, we just didn't expect people would do what the book said that thing did. But now I think it's more turned to people, like, once the rules hit the greater market, people are faster to react to better strategies than maybe a small playtest team can find all at once. So,
which is fair. Like, you know, at the end of the day, they don't spend a lot of money on it, like, or almost any money on it. So, like, you know, you don't pay for something good, you won't get anything good, which is why the small game is free. And in before anyone else. That's the important part. But it's still cool that they're doing, like, you can get a combat patrol and then you can put it down. So if you and your mate are just nubs, you both buy a box, you build all the stuff, you throw them at each other, you're like, lol, we're having a great time. You don't need to understand anything, and that's important.
And the beauty about 40K is eventually those things will probably be good. Sometime in the next 10 years, someone will be like, these were bad, we need to fix them. And then you'll have good models, you just have to wait that long. But I think every unit in the game has eventually been good.
So the way I see it, G-Dub and like G-Dub sends out their marketing guy or their warehouse guy. He walks into their big ass warehouse. He pushes aside the Ark of the Covenant that's been there since Raiders, says, "What have we got? What have we got an excess of, gents? What have we got? For some reason we've got all these Deathwatch upgrade kits that we made that no one bought because when Deathwatch came out they were a joke. Let's just scoop up some random sort of that, chuck it in there, and you know, they roll it away, and we get boxes like this." But that the whole purpose there was to get a Raiders of the Lost Ark reference in, of course. Also, a pitch for the name of this show when we get Val on as well. Instead of calling the Adjacent Show, can we call it the Coalition of the Willing in homage to the Bush years you guys talk about all the time?
Yes. I'm down for that. I think I would be the island of like Uruguay. That's not an island. But you know there's like
island of Uruguay. Uruguay that won a naval battle using cheese? Was it them? Hardened cheese? I think so. Anyway, continue.
One of yeah, one of the island nations sent, like, for the Iraq war, didn't they send like 400 monkeys or something?
I mean, it's quite possible.
Like, there's like a hilarious list of things.
I wouldn't be surprised if it was just the United States had done that during the Iraq war.
More than likely. A question from Stephen AOS in the chat. I think you're doing a bit of 40k. Got some NIDs and their codex. Uh-oh. What other books do I need to pick up? None. You can just go on wahabedia.com and it's all there for free. So the answer would be none if you don't want to get the books. But if you do want to get the books, I'm going to leave that to Pete and Adam. You guys probably
you need Blood of Baal temporarily until Tyranids get their own codex, because that gives you some stuff. If you want to run them competitively, Tyranids are in a bad place right now. They have a couple lists. If you're just like getting into it, trying to learn the game, then Blood of Baal, the Tyranid Codex, the actual Codex, you should be fine. You'll have everything you actually need to play the game. And yeah. And then if you want to dabble into Gene Stealer cults for some allies, that's always a thing.
I'd say it depends how patient you want to be. I think in all likelihood, if at this point, now that you've bought the Codex, I'd probably hold fire on buying anything else. Maybe buy some more models, if you want to buy some more models. But I'd hold fire on buying any more rules until we find out what the next wave of releases are going to be in probably late December or January. Because we got like four Codexes coming out in the next 3 months. And then we're probably going to have another four Codexes coming out in January, February. So, and it's in all likelihood, they're hopefully going to give some Xenos love. Yeah. I've
heard orcs on the scuttlebutt that they were supposed to come out already, but that they'll be first quarter 2020. So 2021.
Hell yeah. I'd hold fire till, I don't know, Christmas. If it hasn't happened by Christmas, buy yourself Blood of Baal for Christmas.
Yeah. Okay. My question to you both is, there's going to be a Death Watch Codex and, of course, Space Wolf Codex, more power armor. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Are you two excited about either of those two books?
I'm going to buy Death Watch. I do own some Death Watch, like a good amount of Death Watch that I've like upgraded with the sprues and everything else and customized. So I'll probably buy that because Death Watch are always fun to me. The new little battle forces that they can have, their little kill teams, intrigue me because you can do some pretty crazy things already with them. I'll have to see what the Codex does, if it adds any more synergy to that, because like they're definitely an army that can easily become broken, and you can do a lot with them. So I'll get Death Watch for sure. Space Wolves, I love Space Wolves from like my history in the game perspective, but I probably won't buy them because I've just got too much on the go.
I'm interested to see if they... So Space Wolves have been... when was the last time you think Space Wolves were actually good, Peter? Was it 5th?
It was 5th edition.
It was 5th edition, wasn't it?
When they were Wolfstar.
Sorry, yeah, Wolfstar, but that was also like a combination of things. But yeah, well, yeah, mostly 5th.
What actual wolf character did they take out? I don't remember a single pivotal wolf character. I think it was a wolf lord on Thunderwolf was what they took.
Yeah.
And then maybe they took a rune priest to do Tempest or whatever it was to cloak everybody.
Rune priest or wolf priest, actually, from now that I remember. Yeah. But it was like more of like a Dark Angel army or some other that had a lot of Fenrisian wolves in it.
So technically the last time I could think of a true like primary space wolf army that was scary was 5th edition. Yeah, was the Razorback Rush with the what are the troops that aren't the Blood Claws?
Grey Hunters.
Grey Hunters. Yeah, those dudes because they could take a melee weapon and still have a bolter, but. I'd be really happy to see Space Wolves like really elevated, but I don't want to see it elevated through their characters because characters seem to be the only thing they're pushing for Space Wolves. Oh, what's good in the Space Wolves list? Ragnar and the bonkers ash crap you can do with characters. There isn't a single like actually good unit you'd lose your mind over. Maybe the Thunderwolf Cab now that they've got some buffs.
Now that they can advance and charge, they seem pretty decent. But
Isn't it a tough structural build? Like, because like they're combat marines, or in my head they're combat marines. Maybe I guess is like they're kind of, if you want to boil it down, like boilerplate pitch, and then Blood Angels are also combat marines, and you're like, how do you differentiate in the rule sets between those two in any particular way? Like, at least maybe if you make it so that the Space Wolf 1 is character heavy. I'm not saying that this is a good thing. I'm feeling for them in that one particular design space. I'm like, what would they do to make two combat armies that just all have the same models? I don't know how you mix that up. Maybe there's an answer. I don't know.
Well, so you know what you really do? You give one of them an army-wide combat buff, and then you give the other one an army-wide combat buff. Which is the only thing they seem to be capable of doing for those two factions. I really, really, really want to see Space Wolves have a more movement jank, because notoriously they had Killia. Technically, they were Killia than Blood Angels for all of 8th edition. Just could literally not get anybody into combat. Everyone just died before they made it. So yeah, I would love to see that. But I'm actually more excited for the Space Wolves one than I am the Death Watch. Peter, what's your synopsis on Death Watch? Right now, they're like dead in the water until this book fixes them. Yeah.
Yeah. Like right now, at least the FAQ, there might be a build in it, but I don't think anyone's bothering to try because the Codex is coming out. The supplement's coming out. But yeah, like nobody plays them. They've had they're at like decimal 1% of the representation in the field right now, because like everyone's dropped them just waiting to see what's going to happen. Because if the FAQ is anything to go by, like everyone's Death Watch army for the small amount of people that did run it in 8th is not going to be the same at all. You're going to be doing a lot of weapon swaps, because the Stormbolter Storm Shield combo just isn't worth it any longer.
Yeah, I mean, it does get interesting on the Terminators in those squads, but the fact is once you allocate to the Terminators, you've got to keep allocating to the Terminators. It kind of makes those kill teams pretty trash. Honestly, I'm surprised to see if they make kill teams with all the new stuff in it, like suppressors. I'd love to see a Phobos kill team. Like,
well, the FAQ, they have them, and they look
sorry, they, yeah,
cool.
They did too. Yeah.
So, I mean, it's just, what do they keep? Is it the same? They could be super scary. Deathwatch may be the only way to run Eliminators in the new world. Because you can combat squad them and do some crazy stuff. But
I've got Eliminators in my current Dark Angels list.
Yeah, you're bad at the game though.
Yeah, am I, Pete?
Don't you have Eliminators in every Space Marine list?
Not recently.
Oh, okay. What changed in like 3 weeks?
Eradicated. Eradicators came out in the same slot and 10th.
That's what
and Eliminators lost like the ability to shoot through walls and a number of other things that made
which
them
was
good.
One of the dumbest things you'd ever try to actually imagine them doing. Like sometimes you make a mistake as a competitive player and try to imagine what's happening on the actual battlefield. And Eradicators shooting around corners and shit. What was that really awful
Taken.
Movie that came out?
Great movie.
No, was it Taken? It was great.
Shit's Creek.
It's that one. There was one with Angelina Jolie in it, and the whole premise of the movie was teaching this douchebag
how
to shoot around corners and stuff. Is it called Taken?
No.
I'm pretty sure it's not called Taken.
I thought it was called Taken.
It's about assassins. It's called...
I was so sure then.
Gone with the Wind.
Gone with the Wind. So here's an adjacent question for you guys. When you guys were growing up on network television, what were the two or three movies that were on like every other weekend on Friday night?
Wanted.
Wanted, yeah. What was yours, Rob?
Wanted is the movie with James
Wanted
Lina
is the name
Jolie.
Of the movie. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, of course.
Probably the Oliver, if you've seen Oliver, the film with Fagin.
Yep.
The musical.
No idea what this is. Oh, yeah. Okay. Like
the musical with Fagin.
The Dickens.
Yeah.
The Dickens story.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. They normally played that just so the working class would truly understand their place. That, he's consistently
Man,
on the BBC.
That's the problem with Canada. That's why.
Mine was what's that one with the chick who wakes up and she realizes she's an assassin? It's the mum of Beetlejuice. No, not the mum of Beetlejuice. Yeah, that's the mum of Home Alone. It's the Alec Baldwin's wife in Beetlejuice. Never mind. I looked that one up. Also, Cliffhanger with Sylvester Stallone was on every freaking weekend. Like on Channel 9, so we just figured Packer had like a super hard on for Sylvester Stallone.
John Lithgow, really good performance as always.
Really good. Cliffhanger is a great movie, parodied brilliantly in Ace Ventura.
Yes,
parodied excellently. In it. You have to judge it by its time. You can't judge it by now. That isn't how it works. Like if you judge anything by now, it's just a massive mess. Truth be told.
And the one I was thinking of was Long Kiss Goodnight with Samuel L. Jackson. And is it a lady?
Oh, Long Kiss, like the death scene for Samuel L. Jackson at the end of that movie.
Gina Davis.
Like at the end of her essentially at the end of her career after she, because she did like Bonnie and Clyde and all those really good movies, yep. And then she did that pirate movie with her husband that basically caused them to be divorced and the world to end. Cutthroat Island, I think it was.
Because
it was like at the time the first movie that had ever been made ever. And then Long Kiss Goodnight, Samuel L. Jackson, just as he started being in every movie ever made. From that point forward.
That Cutthroat Island one, how does that measure up to Waterworld? Because I feel like they're in the same universe.
Waterworld,
on hallowed ground in my eyes.
The problem with Waterworld wasn't that it was a bad movie, because I actually enjoyed it as a child. It was that they spent a trajillion dollars,
yeah,
and it didn't look like they did, other than that whale scene that they cut most of.
Well, so how do you feel about the fact that they made all the money back on VHS sales, and they made buckets of money because it became a cult masterpiece?
Rob, I'm not fighting it. I had the book. I owned the book, Rob. I was one of the like six people that purchased the official book that was like 500 pages long for some reason, and was better than the movie because they didn't cut anything out of it. But yeah,
I loved that movie. I could quote it. Please go.
Yeah. So the issue was they took the premise of Mad Max, which the whole premise of Mad Max was they made it on the smell of an oily rag and some bad farts, and like literally it was actually close to where I live, where I grew up, about 10 km where from I grew up. They filmed the first Mad Max. Mm-hmm. There's my literal cinematography.
That's why you're famous now.
That's right. Yeah, it rubbed off like vicariously. The Mel Gibson's fumes drifted into my home and created. Wow. I grew into the man I am today.
Do you think they made Mad Max based off of Fist of the North Star?
Absolutely.
Because I think they're the same.
Oh really?
Fist of the North Star is one of my favorite animes. One of my favorite animated anything ever.
You and John Cena.
Really?
Yeah, he's talked about it. He wants to do a Fist of the North Star movie. It's the greatest thing in his life. So you and John Cena are the same person.
Not him playing the role.
That's Kenny. Good old Kenny.
No. Wouldn't it be Keanu Reeves again? Which I don't mind.
What ability Keanu Reeves would have to get that buff these days. Because everyone in that movie was like roided off the tits.
Yeah.
Yeah,
they're pretty big.
That's the whole premise.
Yeah, they're pretty big. So, okay, you can say that here. That's fine.
techno barbarians, man. That's our next evolutionary trait.
Can I just go back to Waterworld for a moment and say that Waterworld, while critically slammed but culturally adored, that's my sentence. While that was occurring, the most important step ever happened next. Not to be beat down. He then went on to make a absolutely classic, undoubtedly brilliant movie in The Postman. Which, if we go to current times, not to get too on the nose, but it was about like the destruction of kind of like the world, post-apocalypse, and then like the mail service was like a key part for bringing society back together, which is important with them like destroying the mail service in America. It's just like the postman, ride, and I love that movie. I just want to point that out there. No one else probably likes it, but I like
Tom Petty, also in The Postman from The Heartbreakers.
He is, yeah.
R.I.P.
Yeah. Oh, sad face. Yeah.
Am I right in taking that Waterworld is your favorite? Is Waterworld your favorite film of all time, Rob?
Oh no, it's The Matrix.
First one. Yeah, I'll throw up right now if you say the second or the third one.
They're all part of a beautiful trilogy. I'm just gonna.
You should say it. Say it. I just want to see him throw up on camera.
I love the second and third movie, because I think if you went into the second and third movie hoping to get something out of, like, the first movie poses a question quite nicely about reality, and then the second and third one kind of tries to answer that. Like, it's got a beautiful like internal philosophy and allegory to it, like if you look at it, but if you're only top level in it, it's just got loads of fucking cool guns. So I was always a big fan.
I feel like the second one, they really overestimated the intelligence of their audience.
Agreed.
And were also smelling their own farts profusely through the writing of it. And part three, they were like, wow, actually, the audience is fucking stupid. Let's just give them like a big battle scene.
You don't think in the first one, the scene where he's they're on the leather couches and they're explaining what humanity is, you don't think that that is just like... You were okay with that in the first one. You think that they went too far in number two and three?
No, first one was fine. First one was a lot of stage setting, a lot of concept building, and a lot of almost awareness raising of the, you know, the kind of plugged in society we were building at the time. The second one was like, let's see. They literally went down as deep into the rabbit hole as they could get away with. Like they could, the producers would let them. And yeah, it showed because there was a lot of backlash. People were just like, they just didn't really get the concept anymore. They didn't understand where it was going with and why it was going that direction. Especially, well, firstly, the dialogue written for the architect? Colonel Sanders. Why they used Colonel Sanders as the model for that guy, I will never know. But
He's a slaver. Like he's a slave architect, a slaver archetype.
That's,
like
he's
he's meant to be like a southern like cotton farming lord or whatever it is. Like he's meant to like subjugate as like rote. It's like culturally identificating to that like role. That's why.
If you go and look at the dialogue for him, I was sitting there and I understood what the premise was, but I still had trouble following the dialogue initially. I had to watch it two or three times and then like, okay, cool, I understand all the words he said then. Even though when he first said it, I pretty much got the premise. Mm. The fact is, a lot of dumb people in this world who would just be turned off by the fact that they can't understand something they've paid money to see.
But that shouldn't stop you. Like,
oh, but you know the population we coexist with, Rob. Surely you can't say that.
They're my favorite people. They're my favorite people. They all play Kill Team, and they're the best. Yeah.
So, Peter, what was? Well,
he's
your
gone. He's gone. What's your favorite movie, Adam?
I have two.
Okay.
A bit of a cop out. Children of Men.
Oh, great.
With Clive Owen with it, because it's one of the best scenes I've ever seen. Do you know that last scene where he starts in a freaking bus and he goes all the way into a building past hundreds of people, a huge battle's going on. It's all done in one shot. And as soon as I realized that, I lost my freaking mind, and that became one of the best films I've ever seen. First, also because that's amazingly cast, amazingly acted, and it's a fantastic story. The second one's V for Vendetta.
That's my number two.
Because that was one of the... Really?
Yeah.
Oh, Robbie.
Yeah.
No, V for Vendetta is one of the first graphic novels I ever bought and fell in love with. I really, really, really enjoyed it. So... On top of that, I love everything about it. I think it's fantastic. Fantastically cast. Like Natalie Portman is, and Hugo Weaving gives such a fantastic performance. On top of that, all the bad guys are freaking superb. Like, just superb.
They are really good. They're, like, particularly good. Pete, we got some guests.
Yeah, my daughter woke up as part of this whole time change thing. This is now, like, usually when we'd be finishing up. So she's awake.
Hiya. If you need to go, that's super okay. But like, if she wants to hang, that's also great. Big fan.
We'll see what she does. If she gets a little too fussy about something, we'll take off. She's just turning three, so she's 50-50 on how she reacts to situations.
I like that you can't predict it. what about the Forge World book? So the Forge World book also got announced, and a lot of stuff got legended. Have you got any sad? Any sad things or a lot? What are your thoughts on that, Pete?
I don't care about legended stuff. Whatever. Get out of here. You sucked anyway. But there's definitely some stuff that I'm worried about because we saw like the Deathcore Krieg ability, and that doesn't look very good at all for guard. Especially tanks, because they said it acts as if it's on its last wound, so they're all gonna be hitting on 6+.
Sixes.
What? But, I mean, I guess veterans will be really good if they can take them. If they're allowed to take veterans, then plasma vets and multi-melter vets getting an extra shot when they die is not terrible. But I think everything else is garbage. I don't know. Most of the stuff they got legended, it didn't surprise me. It didn't have a model or it hasn't had a model in like a billion years. Mm-hmm. My favorite chapter master still exists, Tiberos the Red Wake. So I'm happy for that.
Is he new? Like fairly new?
Well, the model is like 15, 20 years old, if that, maybe longer. But because it was Badab War, it came out. They just never fleshed out the rest of the models for that whole thing.
Who's the Forge World like Space Marine captain that was to do with Dawn of War? I assume that's still there.
Gabriel Angelos, he's still there. Yeah.
Yeah.
What's his big potato head? Yeah. What's he, is it? Ricky Moore, Mickey Rourke?
I think that's who they modeled him after. Yeah, but they like they whoever sculpted him made his head like a perfect egg, with like a flat top, and it's ugly as sin. And it's part of the model. It's not like you can't head swap it without doing a whole lot of cutting. Yeah. And I hate it because I own the model and I really wanted to head swap him, but it's just like I don't want to accidentally ruin it. I'm so mad.
Why? You knew what it looked like, Pete. Why did you buy the model?
Because I got it at a discount.
Okay, that's fair.
It's a pretty model. It's a pretty model-ish. Do you not think?
He's got one of the best Thunderhammers I've ever made, but that's pretty much where it stops.
Okay. Wow, that's
well for me.
but the sad bit for me, we'll talk about what's in there in a minute and also what's gone. But the sad bit for me is not expanding the Mechanicum range, and also it feels like not expanding the Mechanicum range is just wild in my opinion. They're just leaving money at the doorstep, which is just it seems super weird to me personally.
Well, they told us was about 2.5 years ago. They were going to give us the full Mechanicum range.
Yeah. New Grey Knights, new Custodes, and a Mechanicum range. We got the Custodes, kind of. We didn't get the extra stuff. And we never got any of the other stuff.
Yeah, because we still don't have like the Custodes, their bikers. They've got some different bikers, haven't we?
Yeah.
A bunch of different models from the Custodes range, which still just isn't applicable. She's just, it's so haphazard and weird. Like, it doesn't even have like a, like, it's not like all of it's in and some of it's, they're like, these yes, the rest no. Like, doesn't make any sense. It's just weird. It's weird. But was there anything that you were happy that stayed?
I honestly haven't looked at it, to be honest. I haven't looked at it in depth. I haven't trawled through the contents. Cyclops demolition vehicle. Sick. I've got four of them. There we go.
The timing's also... go on, sorry. After you, Adam.
No, I was going to say, like, Tybros for me was the only thing. Everything else, I was like, well, if they get rid of it, I'll be sad. But there wasn't anything unsurprising. Zadsnark the Ripper going away is fine because I know that they're replacing it with that Orca war boss on a bike. Mm-hmm. Chinork, sorry, the Chinork is gone. That's the one I'm most disappointed is gone. I forgot all about it.
Interesting.
The Chinork is gone. It just won an RTT, a Chinork list.
Did it? With its last
eight
one.
Eight of them, I think it was.
Seven
Chinorks. That was basically half the list was Chinorks. The guy went undefeated in RTT, scored perfect hundreds on all three games, and then they killed it.
To rise to such lofty heights as winning an RTT just to be smashed back into obscurity. What a heartbreaking moment.
That is heartbreaking. That's super sad. Do you not like the Chinook? I think it's ugly, personally.
I was a big fan.
It's ugly, it's sad.
I'm happy the stuff that I was truly interested in, I was pretty sure was none of it was getting removed. Like most of my Forge World guard stuff, like they were never going to get rid of a Macarius Vulcan. It's just never going to happen.
Did they get rid of one of the Macariuses? I thought they did.
The Omega, but the Omega has been out of production for literally like 10 years.
Okay, that's not fair. Well, do you not find it also a weird time to like release the book? Because like, so you release this book now and it's got all of the rules for these armies which don't have modern codexes, ignoring
codexes.
The Space Marines bit. Also, like, any argument, I did see some Facebook post, I don't know who, but some moron, and if it's you listening, I think you're a moron, which was someone was like, yeah, they couldn't include the Mechanicum stuff because, like, then it would be a massive book, and it's just like, have you seen how much Marine stuff is in there? Don't be mental. But the, like...
It's like 200 data sheets.
Yeah, there's 224 pages in this thing. And apart from at the end of every section there being a points page, every other one of those is there's a minimum 200 data sheets in here.
Yeah, and
I think they said is 190. So,
and okay. isn't a ton of them the marine ones basically?
Yeah, more than half, I believe.
Yeah. So we just had the marine decks, and then it's now doubled. But my point is, isn't it weird to release a book with some additional stuff because like. What about the extra rules that you might get from the new codexes? Like, and they're not going to integrate or work like synergistically, which I find like the releasing is a weird time. I think maybe, especially think I don't know if there are any Chaos Marine units in there. I don't think there are.
They have stuff, but it's mostly stuff that all, like is correlates to a Space Marine version of the same thing. Most of it.
But then wouldn't it have the extra wound in this version, and then like then the other?
Nothing troop wise. I believe it's all vehicles.
So. Oh, okay. All right. That's kind of.
They
what
had
I was
a couple
at.
Characters that have been legended, like Lord Arcos. So I think that it's it is interesting. I think at this point they kind of had to because people have been mad for 2.5 years that it hasn't come out. So I think the longer they waited, the more people were going to freak out. So almost at this point, I imagine they're just like, let's just toss it out there so people stop complaining. And then hopefully it's at least mediocre instead of bad.
Okay. Yeah, makes sense. I'm a big fan of the Forge World stuff, but I'm just super sad that they didn't do the Mechanicum things because I own a really large collection of that stuff, and it not being in there as well, especially for I don't know, it feels really weird, like when you could just expand the range so massively, and they have no problem doing it with Marines, like zero problem. They're like, this is fine. So it's just like they can't be asked. Is how I feel, and I'm like, oh, I'm really sad about that, to be honest, really, really sad. Because I there's some amazing models in there, like Thanators, and anyway, I've talked about this several times, and I'm never not going to be sad about that, if I'm honest.
They're beautiful models, and I am shocked that they haven't done it, but yet they went through with Custodes. That's, I think, the big surprise, that they went all that way for Custodes, but not for AdMech. Maybe they just need someone on the team that loves them as much as you do.
It could be that. But maybe it's just because doing the Custodes ones wasn't very complicated. They just had to add like an additional rule, like here or there. Like it wasn't overly complex to do that. Maybe, I don't know. But then will we see all the updated, like, this is the thing. I don't know if we're going to see all the updated kind of weapon options actually in this book as they relate to, or they're going to be FAQ'd. Am I making sense? Does that make sense?
No, I agree. Like that is going to be something that's going to be interesting. Like if a Custodes book drops or a Chaos book drops and they get a different weapon profile than what's in Forge World, will they go back or will they kind of do what they did historically, which is not, and then the weapon is bad for a while? And yeah, I'll be curious.
All right. I'm pissed off, gentlemen.
What's up? What's wrong?
I have a beautifully painted storm legit Forge World Stormhammer, which is a Forge World Baneblade. It's not there. It's gone. Not in the book.
What?
They got the storm. They got the storm blade. I've got apparently. Well, I just looked up on Forge World. Of course, I haven't been paying attention to whether or not it went out of production. Apparently, it did somewhere somehow slipped into obscurity. It was the best looking one. It had like it was the one with all the guns pointing out the sides. It like was a battleship. It did like broadsides into you and stuff.
Wait,
it
is this the twin, Stormlord? The Stormlord? No, from
the Forge World Stormhammer.
Oh, okay. Is the Stormlord still there? Because from that, because that's
yeah.
The.
Oh, no, that's not Forge World. That's not Forge World. That's a regular one. I'd expect that still to stay. I've got those two, and yeah, I love it.
Wait, which one's the Stormlord? What's the one from the Solar Auxilia?
Oh, they have all of them.
No, but they have one specific that's theirs that had like seven las cannons on the side, or three on each side, and it had
that
like
was the one, that's the one, the Stormhammer. That's what I'm talking about. Apparently, that's out of production and it's not in the book.
Oh my god, I've got one. So I've just got a crap tank.
Yeah.
To be fair, it was useless in the game before.
Wait a sec. So it yeah, it is. It's for sale on the Horus Heresy side.
Yeah, but not in
Solar
40K.
Solar Auxilia Stormhammer, but it's gone from 40K. Sons of bitches.
Heart stab in the heart. This is the problem when you do mess with Forge World. It is like you are dealing with like a backstreet dealer. He opens up his coat and he's like, I've got you some sort of unique tank. And you're like,
yeah.
How long will this be valid for? It's like, I make you no promises.
That was a really expensive tank that I've won GTs with. And I'm very, very sad. It's one of my favorites.
You should be ashamed of winning any event with this Forge World model, as per it's written.
Yeah.
That's never do the it. Rules. It's one of the Ten Commandments. Moses came down from Mount whatever and saith to the peoples, thou shalt be ashamed for winning events with Forge World models.
Yep.
Yes, Meatballs so in chat says, Stormhammer might be condensed into a Baneblade cheat. Have you thought about that?
Yeah, it's possible.
That's the thing.
Possible. Then why would they put Stormblade still? Why would they still have the plasma variant in there? Yeah. But who knows? Trying to read between the lines on G-Dub's motivation and decision making is like, yeah.
And then Forge World makes it even more interesting.
Futility.
But I'm pissed off.
So my next question is to you both about the release schedule, because like two codexes a month, that's a lot to digest. I guess maybe if they're useless and not really that detailed, it won't be a big deal. But are you concerned like that that's going to be a lot of information? Like the meta, not that there's many tournaments anyway, so like it's a different kind of conversation. But the pace and the speed, do you worry about adaptability or like taking stuff in? Of course, we're still waiting for the Marine and Necron FAQs because they're now on a 4-week schedule. So you'll be in this really weird position where two codexes will come out. You might not have the FAQ for those last two codexes and two new codexes will come out. Like, so you'll be in this kind of like fuge state of rules all the time. Pete, what are you thinking? And is it going to be fine or?
I think it'll be fine. We've been through it already to some degree in the past, particularly with Psychic Awakening when it was being released. So it's not like it's old news. Because they were putting out like a Psychic Awakening every 2 weeks at one point. So, and like when events start back up, I think it's going to be fine either way. If we're stuck in this until this next summer, which is kind of what everyone's kind of predicting, then it doesn't matter. We're going to have most of the codexes out, or at least half of them out by the time we're able to do anything interesting anyway. And if we somehow manage to go full bore before then, the meta reacts really quickly, like super quickly.
How fast does she think it reacts? That's the question.
She is very mad that Bronx woke up my dog. She's yelling at him to go back to sleep. And it's super cute. That's
definitely how that works.
That works. Dogs respond to that. Oh, you're yelling at me. Sleep time. Adam, what are your thoughts?
I suppose I'm a bit more on the pessimistic side. I will be Peter's foil in this case. I think